Get your exterior painting to-dos done easily with Dutch Boy Pristine Exterior Paint. With its rain rinse technology, rain naturally washes away dirt and grime. Plus, it resists cracking and peeling, making it perfect to withstand the harshest weather conditions. Save big money on Pristine Exterior Paint and start your painting project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
This is the Adam Carriker Show on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Adam Carriker Show, segment two of this wonderful program. Hopefully you enjoyed somewhat, un poquito a bit. Segment two of the Adam Carriker Show is sponsored by our good friends at Mulberry Barbecue at 11th and Cornhusker, open Monday through Saturday. Every day I read this, I get hungry. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a phenomenal place to eat. It's also the lunch hour. You should just go there every day, get some lunch, eat, and listen to this program. That's just my recommendation. All right, open Monday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Try their burnt end sandwich, a brisket burrito, barbecue nachos, a full slab of ribs, a half smoked chicken, and much, much more. They also have incredible sides. Get fueled for your lunch today or make dinner plans at Mulberry Barbecue by Single Barrel, located at 11th and Cornhusker. All right, we're getting a whole bunch of texts in, but I want to ask the fine folks who are listening two questions. Number one, because admittedly, we decorated our house for Christmas before Black Friday because we had this conversation a couple weeks on the show. When's it appropriate to decorate your house? All right, due to the Nebraska game on Friday and sporting events on Saturday, we did it before Black Friday. It has now become the tradition at the Carriker house, just due to schedule's sake, that we used to do it on Black Friday. It is now the day before Thanksgiving. The kids have the day off school. There's no Husker game. There's no insanity yet. It's really kind of a chill day, so we take the day and do one of the most blasphemous things under God's hot sun, and we decorate the house for Christmas on Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving. Now, here's my question. I've admitted my sin, all right, on air for everyone to hear. But here's my question. You got to be honest, because the overwhelming response we got when we asked, when should you decorate your house? When's it appropriate? Is Black Friday. I want to know, how many of you decorated your house after Thanksgiving or before? Feel free to text in your answer to the text line. What's that number there, Jake?
402-464-5685.
All right. I do actually have a football-related question. At some point, we'll dive a little bit more into the bowl game, locations, locale, predictions, and all that stuff. Right now, somehow, the bowl game and all that's been buried under all the other non-news that we have going on in Husker Nation. But here's my other question. You can answer one, the other, or both, if you're so inclined. What bowl game do you predict Nebraska will end up at? The Rate Bowl in Phoenix, Duke's Mayo Bowl in Carolina, the Pinstripe Bowl in New York, the Music City Bowl in Nashville. Let us know. Text in when you decorated your house for Christmas and or what bowl game you believe Nebraska will go to. Give the number one more time, Jake.
402-464-5685.
All right. We should also note real quick, it's a bittersweet congratulations to Ty Robinson. It's sweet because they announced the All Big Ten teams today. He's the only Husker on any of the Big Ten teams. That's correct, Jake?
Yep.
Okay, third team All Big Ten for Ty Robinson. So congratulations. It's also bitter because that is a bunch of bull crap. He is easily a first or second team All Conference performer. So I want to give a shout out to the guy who is probably my favorite player on the entire team this year. And I said that before the season. Little things matter to me. He's at every single press conference. Post game, Monday, he's always there. He doesn't have to do that. That's taking a leadership role. That's putting yourself on front street after a tough loss. That's being accountable and answering questions when sometimes people want nothing to do with it. I'll tell you right now, I wanted nothing to do with it. And unless Keith Mann made it a point to be like, hey, Adam, you're a captain. You got to get up there. Okay, fine. I also just didn't like public speaking at the time. So there's a little bit more that goes into that. But Ty Robinson is one of my favorite players for multiple reasons. Because of the way he carries himself, the way he represents the university. Then he goes out and he has a great season. All right, at Big Ten Media Days, he was hilarious because Amon Green asked him about his NCAA college football rating, and you could tell he was not happy. I forget exactly what it was, but the thing that bothered him the most was his pass rush rating, and he just looked at me and he goes, mid-season upgrades. Now, I don't know what the mid-season upgrades were or were not for Ty, but I do know his stats. Now, you got to keep in mind, this is not a 4-3 defensive end. This is a 3-3-5 defensive end. As a guy who played in the 3-4, I will tell you right now, it is almost twice as hard to get a sack out of a 3-4. I got to imagine a 3-3-5 is similar. As compared to a 4-3 penetrating defense where you're just pinning your ears back and going after the quarterback all the time, especially in the Big Ten where you're going to run the ball, see run ball running offenses first way more often than not. He has 6 sacks this year. All right. So when you talk about upgrades, you know, he had 1 sack a season ago, and I thought he played really, really well. He actually had more tackles, more sacks, and more teams were focused on him. So shout out to Ty Robinson, all right, for being honored as a big, all Big Ten. Personally, I believe it should be higher than third team. But hey, nothing but love and respect. All right. You know, it was interesting. I thought Nash Hutmaker had a little bit of an up and down year. At times he played really well. I thought he was a little bit more up and down than he was a year ago. I love the whole wrestling story last winter. I didn't say much while it was going on because I wanted to see how it unfolds. But I will tell you right now, I have put on 100 pounds in my life going from 225 as a quarterback, my senior year of high school, going all the way up to 325 for one day and when I was in Washington. And then I played the rest of my time there at about 315, 310. But when I retired, I got all the way down to 225. So I can honestly say I put on 100 pounds. I've lost 100 pounds. All right. I like to eat and live too much. I'm now about 270, and I'm very happy with that. I'm actually 280. I want to be 270. I couldn't lie on air, Jake. I got to get rid of 10 pounds. I'm going to do it after the holidays. But my point is, it's hard to do that. And he had to do it a shortened amount of time frame. He didn't have a winter conditioning because he was wrestling. Then he never had an offseason. He went from one physical sport to the next physical sport, did something insanely impressive, made nationals in major Division I Big Ten college wrestling after he hadn't wrestled for like, what, 3 or 4 years? Insanely impressive. But I remember thinking, he's not getting a winter conditioning. He's not getting an offseason. His body's not getting a break. I wonder how that's going to impact him. So as cool as that story was, and I thought he did some good things this year. I'm not saying anything negative. Okay, but it was a little bit more up and down than a year ago. Okay, half the amount of sacks this year, things of that nature. Sometimes that can fluctuate, you know, just on its own. Going forward, I think multi-sport athletes is awesome. I do think trying to do football and wrestling is incredibly challenging. But I do want to shout out to Nash Hutmaker, the polar bear, on a great career at Nebraska and all the other seniors as well. All right, if I tried to list them all, I'd be here all show. Now, we are going to dive into a couple other things and put a final button on the Iowa game. I never even addressed Iowa, but for 5 minutes yesterday, there was so much going on. Did I even talk about the Iowa game on the show yesterday?
Oh, man, not too much. You're right.
We're just going to spend 5 minutes here. We're going to put a button on it. So there's this guy, some guy I've never heard of, Nick Sainer. I don't know. Have you ever heard of Nick?
No.
I've never heard of him either. All right. Nick does a great job. I'm just going to read his tweet directly. Driving home from Iowa City with thoughts. So here's a thread. Feel free to add. 1, Nebraska special teams has to improve. It's the difference maker in so many of their games. Amen. Hallelujah. Preach and praise the Lord. All right. You got to pray the pick six is away, Nick. All right. Their already slim margin for error becomes even more narrow when you can't reverse the field. Couldn't agree more. All right. This is the final button on the Iowa game. The last 2 Iowa games, Nebraska has had the ball. Think about this, Jake. The last 2 games, and try to keep the turkey down from Thanksgiving while you're at it, because this is brutal. The last 2 Iowa games, Nebraska has had the ball near midfield in a tied 10-10 game with 1 minute left, driving for a chance to win the game. Lost both games in regulation 13-10. We had the ball with 1 minute to go near midfield. Like, we control the outcome of this game. All right. That was rough. I will say this. I thought this was interesting. Somebody sent this to me. This is actually from when Ohio played Minnesota years ago when Solich was there. Josiah Yazdani, the Ohio kicker, lined up to try a 53-yard field goal. This ties into Nebraska, Iowa. Just bear with me. In the closing moments, the Gophers called timeout just before the snap to try to ice him, who then kicked the ball anyway. But the officials flagged him for delay of game, which incensed Ohio coach Frank Solich. He decided not to try the 58-yarder. And I quote, "The way the sequence developed and the flow of it," Solich said, "that was very much a surprise to me." Should there have been a flag on Iowa? Kicking the ball, delay a game, Jake?
Matt Rule certainly wanted one.
Just saying, there's been precedent set. Why would we want consistency? Let's hire part-time officials that never have to be held accountable. That'll go well. All right. Side note, Nebraska's turnover margin for 2024 dropped into the negatives. We were, at one point, I believe, positive 6. We were 5-1. I believe we were plus 6. We ended the season negative 7. So we are minus 1 on the season. The Huskers haven't had a positive turnover margin since 2016. This one really sucks. Iowa beat Nebraska with just 5 first downs, the fewest in an FBS win since 2000. That one just stinks. Nebraska lost 5 games this season by a combined 29 points, 5 scores from an 11-1 record. We landed 6-6. All right, Jake, you got any final thoughts? That's my final thoughts on Iowa. They weren't pleasant.
No.
That's just what stood out to me, and that's what people sent to me, and I cherry-picked what I thought was the most interesting, and I appreciate all the info that people send me. Any final thoughts, Jake?
Well, it is interesting. I would ask you if you know, Ty Robinson, I think you could argue maybe should have got a higher spot. I do agree with that. I think him and Nash Hutmacher, when we look back at this time, that Tony White's defense has really relied on those guys to get top 20 defenses. That's probably taken for granted a little bit because Nebraska didn't win in these two seasons. But you look at the guys that made honorable mention. You tell me among this group or if there's somebody else that you think should have got a recognition, because it's one thing to say, oh, that's unfair. We should have had. But I mean, you got to point out who else would it be? The other guys that got honorable mention were Bryce Binhart, Ben Scott, John Bullock, Malcolm Hartsog, Nash Hutmacher, Deshaun Singleton, and Brian Buscini.
As far as all Big Ten?
Those are all honorable mentions. Anybody you would really have a strong argument for all Big Ten?
My big thing was Robinson should have been higher than third team. That was my big thing.
Yeah. But if your big argument is that one guy should have been higher, I mean, what are we still saying? You've got one guy that's worth an all Big Ten nod. What does that say about the program?
Let's see the names again.
Bryce Binhart, Ben Scott, John Bullock, Malcolm Hartsog, Nash Hutmacher, Deshaun Singleton, and Brian Buscini.
I don't know who's in front of him. I'm not up to date on all the Big Ten punters. Yeah. I'd have to see the people in front of him. But going into the Iowa game, and I haven't updated this. I didn't even think about it until just now. He was on pace to break Nebraska's single-season yards per punt record, break Sam Cook's record. He was ahead of him by like 0.02 yards per kick. I don't know if he ended up breaking it or not. I assume something would have been put out had he done it.
Yeah, he struggled against Iowa.
Yeah, so he probably didn't. But Brian Buscini is one of those guys. My big thing was I felt like Ty should have been – they're not going to put him first team because Nebraska's 6-6 and Nebraska struggled in the way things went kind of up and down to end the year. But I thought at least second team all Big Ten. You look at what he did in a 3-3-5 defense as a lineman. It's so much harder to do some of the things he did. I have had some people ask me, hey, man, there's a lot going on. What's your trust level in Matt Rhule? And I've kind of addressed this before, and I'm sure I'll address it again, especially after signing day and after the bowl game. There's a long off season, and we're going to get new information. You're constantly getting new information. I'm allowed to change my opinion based on the new information that comes to us over time. So I might say something today, and if there's no new information, I should say the same thing tomorrow. But if we get new information, I'm allowed to change. So this is something that will be discussed probably quite a bit. But here's how I look at it. Matt Rhule is a guy who's willing to do whatever it takes. He does seem to be all in. We've had previous coaches. I'll just be flat out blunt. They were not all in. I'm not going to attach names to it. Sometimes there was egos and feelings that got hurt. There was relationships that were damaged. Sometimes there was guys who just weren't entirely all in. Sometimes there were guys who were all in, but they were way too nice. I mean, it's not that hard to figure out who I might be talking about with some of these comments. Okay, but Matt Rhule seems like he is all in. He has sat down and talked with Osborne about how they had success, and he has tried to learn the Nebraska way and what works at Nebraska. Not every coach in the past has done that. In fact, I would say more often than not, they do not. They come in doing what they want, which to a degree makes sense, but every place is different, so why wouldn't you learn about the place that you're now coaching as compared to the place you were just at, what may or may not be different, what may or may not work. So I do think with his process that's worked at both Temple and Baylor, it's not exactly working the same here. It's also not working the same here because college football is way different than it was at Temple and Baylor. He's a development guy. He's a relationship guy. He's a guy who counts on loyalty. Those things are severely different than they were the last time he coached. So I think he's realizing that now and trying to adapt. All right. NIL and portal is so much more crucial than I think he realized in the beginning. And it's a huge factor as to whether he's going to succeed or any coach is going to succeed where they're at or not. So I think he's learning. He's trying to adapt. And I think he's trying to understand and evolve sooner rather than later with the way that college football is now versus the way it was previously, where he previously had success. My confidence level in Rhule's willingness to, his confidence in what's worked, his willingness to understand and what's changed is very high. My confidence level and whether that equates to wins and more of them on the field is admittedly not as high, but I'm not saying it's low. I'm in the wait and see approach. I got to see how signing day unfolds. I got to see what else happens. What's the bowl game look like? Although the team's going to be so different going into the bowl game, after the bowl game. I don't know what we learn from that other than we want to end up with a winning season and win the bowl game because that's always good. It's going to evolve and change as we get new information throughout the offseason. All right. So for me, him learning, being willing to adapt along with the confidence of what's worked and trying to say, hey, this is what works now, is very high. How well and how soon that equates to more wins, I'm in wait and see approach. Does that make sense, Jake?
Yeah. I think you speak for a lot of Husker Nation there.
Okay. Because there are other coaches. There's other coaches who former players believe should not have been fired. And I was of the mindset, they're not willing to learn. They're not willing to change. They're walking around saying us versus the world, and the world included Husker fans. And that's not going to work. There are other coaches who just said it's me versus the world is how it came across to me. And that's not going to work. I don't get any of that from Matt Rhule. Does that make sense, the difference?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All right. How much time we got in this segment? Probably got to roll?
Yeah, pretty soon.
I got a trivia question for you that you will not get.
Uh-oh.
I will bet you a whole lot of money you won't get this. All right, you ready?
Yeah.
There's only one member of the 2021 Ohio State recruiting class that's ever beat Michigan. Who is it?
You know what? I did see this one.
I'm going to give you a hint. It's a bit of a trick question.
Yeah, it's Quinn Ewers.
Oh, you saw? I saw it, man. Yeah. So this was sent to me. It's a picture of Quinn Ewers in an Ohio State jersey, and he's the only guy from that 2021 Ohio State recruiting class. He's obviously now Texas's quarterback who's ever beat Michigan. Texas beat Michigan, thumped Michigan earlier this year. I just thought that was incredibly interesting. Hurt. Speaking of gag me, you, Texas gets the SEC championship game in year one in the SEC. Oregon could, again, win the Big Ten. Texas could win the SEC. SMU, the ACC. Arizona State, the Big 12. It's so crazy to me. All these teams were in a different conference last year. We'll see how it plays out. But they somehow did not play Tennessee, Alabama, LSU, Ole Miss, South Carolina, or Missouri. And they'll avoid those same teams again next year. That is insane to me. Isn't it like when we joined the Big Ten, they basically had us play the Bills, the Patriots, and the Bears was the schedule we had every year. It was like Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan. We'll sneak the 49ers in there when you're supposed to have a bye week. They did not do that to Texas, ladies and gentlemen. All right, we better have to break. When we come back, man, did we get any responses on the text line, by the way?
Oh, plenty of them, yeah.
Give me one or two before we go to break. Christmas. When are people doing Christmas? Give you the overwhelming answer.
Lemonhead says they decorate the day after Thanksgiving. There's a lot of Black Friday in there. A few questions. People are talking about the bowl games anyway, are maybe leaning toward the Pinstripe Bowl, though I do like one here. 5769 says the Bourbon Bowl versus the Mud Dogs.
That's my favorite answer so far, the Bourbon Bowl. I like it. All right. Water's so much better in Gatorade. All right. When we come back, Jake's going to give me a couple more responses. And Jake, I'll let you choose. I'm all prepped to talk Nebraska basketball, women's basketball, and volleyball. I'm all prepped to talk more college football. You let me know during the break what you want me to talk about. Don't go anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back.